the second of Aubrey's proposals that she had made to the previous to the last call, which was to create a fixed time limit on how long a registrar would, or I guess how long a registrant or registrar would have in order to authoritatively resolve issues with inaccurate data. Second item we have on the agenda is to talk about Steve's proposal that he had sent about to the list just prior to the last call. Third item, I'd like to have, we have Denise on the call, maybe a brief discussion of some of the issues on the list regarding the revised agreement with the U.S. government. And then I'd also like to just talk briefly about our preliminary report, and we've only got an hour to do all of that. So hopefully, I think those last two topics will probably help cover relatively briefly. Okay. Any other items that people would like to add to the agenda?
Jordan, it's Maria. I'm just going to drop off the call and see if I can conference Avery in, because I think she was going to have a problem getting on the call.
Okay, no problem.
Jordan, it's Marilyn. Could, for the next call, could we add in then planning for San Paulo?
Yes, let's do that next call. Any other items? Okay, great. So we'll actually, since we're waiting for Avery still, let's mix up the order and take that second item first. So, Steve, that would be the proposal you'd sent around. Would you like to maybe give us a brief introduction to it, and then if people have questions or comments?
Okay. Thank you. This is a proposal that is an alternative way of approaching some of the WHOIS policy issues to try to respond to the concern that expressed that some individual registrants need greater protection of their data than they now have. And it's based on the model that's been in place for about 3 years, I think, in .nl, the CCTLD in the Netherlands, which is a pretty large registry and therefore may and has had the system in place for a while, and it may provide a good model for us to look at. The first three pages of this document that was sent around 2 weeks ago really just describe the .nl model and talk a little bit about some of the problems of or issues that would have to be confronted to try to adapt that model to the GTLD environment, particularly the thin registries. I mean, it could be adapted pretty easily to the thick registry environment, I think. But for thin registries where the contact data is held at the registrar level, it obviously presents some different challenges. I don't plan to go through all that material in the first three pages. If people have questions about it, I'd be glad to try to answer them. Rather, it probably makes more sense to just turn to the specific proposal that I'm putting forward here. And I would emphasize at the outset that this is a draft proposal, and I think it could definitely benefit from further input and from comments and reactions. So in that spirit, let me just outline briefly what the proposal provides. The first step in this proposal is for ICANN to choose a trusted, independent, third-party vendor. And this entity would receive and process and decide on requests from individual GTLD registrants who wanted to curtail public access to their WHOIS data because they feel they could demonstrate special circumstances, a special need for this type of treatment. I should say that one variant on this that's been proposed, and I think it's worth considering, is instead of having one third-party vendor to handle this everywhere, we would have ICANN would choose five, one for each region, and any registrant, depending on where they resided, application would go to the vendor in that region. So, I mean, I think that has a lot to recommend it. It still remains relatively centralized, and I think it would be relatively easy to keep tabs on consistency of the decisions. But on the other hand, it's got somebody in Europe deciding whether a European registrant should qualify for the special circumstances, and someone in Latin America doing the same for a Latin American registrant, and so on. The idea is that the vendor would have to apply a set of criteria that had been worked out in advance, and they would have to render its decision entirely online in a very short time frame. We've suggested 5 days, of course, it would have a budget, and I'll get to the funding of this a little bit later. But basically, ICANN would choose an entity to administer this system. The applicants, the registrants who could apply for this status, would be only individual registrants, only those who are using the domain name for non-commercial purposes, and only those who could demonstrate a reasonable basis for concern that public access to data about themselves would jeopardize a concrete and real interest in their personal safety or security. They can't be protected any other way than by withholding this from public access. This basic criterion is kind of adapted from the Dutch criterion, the .nl. I think it's fair to say .nl probably has a more stringent approach. For example, they, according to their what's on their website, they generally will not recognize special circumstances unless the registrant has some record of having gone to the police to seek protection from somebody or some other kind of documentation of their need for personal safety and security. This doesn't have that, but it's basically it's similar to what has been in place in the Netherlands for about the past 3 years. And there could also be a provision for allowing some social service agencies that serve individuals in that situation to apply. Obviously, that's a general criterion, and you'd want to have some more specific criteria so that applicants would know what tests they were required to meet, and we suggest here a couple different ways that could be done. Either working with the vendor, basically it's for the GNSO, the GAC, and the vendor to work together to work out these specific criteria. Now, as far as the costs of the system, our proposal is that it be taken from one or more of the existing volume-sensitive fees that are paid by registrars or registries. I mean, obviously, that's a pretty general proposal, and that would have to be specified. But the basic approach of this model anyway, and obviously there could be other models, but the basic approach of this model is that neither the registrants, the registrars, nor the registries would incur any additional costs above what is happening now. I think this is based on an assumption that there will be a relatively limited number of applications. Again, it can only come from individual registrants who are making a non-commercial use, so that defines the universe down somewhat right there. But this is the proposal we have for funding, and as I've said, there are other ways you could do it. You could charge the registrant, the applicant, for making the application. That's not what we propose here, but that certainly could be looked at too. Basically, the main change this makes in the system is that the registrar has to advise individual registrants that they have this option and provide a link to the site of the third-party vendor. Other than that, registrars would really proceed the same way they do now. They would collect the information. The registrant would be required to provide accurate information to keep it updated. But while the third-party vendor was deciding on the special circumstances application, this data would not be made public through WHOIS. And then if the vendor ultimately decided that the applicant did meet the special circumstances criterion, then of course it would not be made public. Instead, there would be standardized display. It could say it could just have the registrant's contact information. It could say something else about the special circumstances application or something like that. Basically, the registrar would continue to hold the data, and the registrant would still have the same obligations as far as submitting it and keeping it current, but it would not be displayed publicly. In point six, we also recommend that the existing proxy registration services, which this really would substitute for it, and that those be phased out, and that individual registrants who are making non-commercial uses, who are using a proxy service now, be given the opportunity to apply under the special circumstances mechanism. And this phase-out process could be structured in such a way that that their data would not be made public at any point, assuming they qualify under the special circumstances. They would move seamlessly from the proxy system into the special circumstances model. And point seven there, is, I guess I've gotten a little bit ahead of myself, but this recommends the contact information of the registrar be displayed during the life of the special circumstances designation. That designation would be renewable, we suggest here, every year. It could be on a different basis. And also, because this proposal requires that the registrant who qualifies be making a non-commercial use, third-party vendor would be responsible for making some kind of spot check for a website or other internet resources associated with the domain name to ensure that it was a non-commercial use. And, of course, if it turned out that there was a commercial use going on, then the person would be ineligible for the program. We've listed in point eight a couple of other procedures that would be needed. One, of course, is an appeal procedure. If the registrant goes to the vendor and asks for special circumstances treatment and the vendor says no, there should be some mechanism for that decision to be reviewed. Second, if the registrant is successful in the application, then there needs to be some mechanism for those who have a legitimate complaint to be able to get the contact information that's held by the registrar. And again, the registrar would continue to hold this information. So that would need to be worked out. And then, of course, there needs to be some convenient way to review and adjust the criteria. If it turns out they're not realistic or don't work very well, there should be some annual review or something like that to adjust the criteria. And then the final point is simply that the third-party vendor would report on its activities, how many applications had come in, how many had been granted, how many had been denied, how many had been appealed, and so forth. And then its contract to operate this could be renewed or recompeted periodically. And I think the same thing could apply if you went with the model of having five regional third-party vendors. Basically, they would do the same thing, and that could either be all at the same time or it could be staggered in some way to... You'd probably also, at this review process, want to have a mechanism for seeing whether these different vendors seem to be applying the criteria consistently or inconsistently. So that's the outline of the proposal. As I said, it's based on a system that's worked apparently well in the Netherlands for several years. It's had to obviously need some changes to accommodate the GTLD system, particularly for thin registries, and because in the Netherlands, for example, it is the registry operator that operates this this system of special circumstances special circumstances mechanism. So with that, I'd be glad to try to respond to any questions or comments that people have. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Are there people have questions or comments?
Sure, this is Wendy.
Wendy, anyone else?
It's Marilyn. I have a couple of questions.
Marilyn. I'm going to add myself to you. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Wendy.
I'm not going to start out unless people have forgotten the arguments that I've made earlier about privacy not being a special circumstance. So that's a general disagreement with this way of framing the question. And